Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and we are the church that seeks to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Today, our worship leaders are Gwen and Anna Atarian, and our guest preacher is our lay servant, Bruce Stark. And Bruce has got a wonderful message. Oh, wow. He has his own cheering section. These are regular people. They don't cheer for the rest of us. So, all right, Bruce, we're all looking forward to this. I do have a few announcements to share with you. First of all, good news, we have 115 children sign up for Vacation Bible School next week. That's the good news. Here's the part where we need your help. We have an urgent need for more helpers, more crew leaders, and we have an urgent need for fruit donations. So if you can bring fruit for this awesome event, there's a rocket ship out there, then you pull off a little rocket ship tag to show that you're going to bring some fruit, or you can go online to show that you can lead a group of children from craft to activity, and that would be a crew leader. So if you can do either of those things, we need them, because you know what? The Spirit's moving in this community. Kids want to come. We got to make it so they can come, right? All right. Also online, you can sign up kids ages 4 years through ninth grade for musical theater camp that starts on August 7th. And you can also go online and register your family for family camp August 17th through 20 over by Lake Michigan. It will be a lovely, lovely time. You can also sign up for that on the connection cards. And the third announcement, the famous, wondrous, and amazing United Methodist Women in Faith Salad Luncheon is coming. All right, now we got some energy in this place today. We're all getting warmed up for Bruce's sermon. So the salad luncheon is Thursday, August 17th. It is delicious. I was actually at it last year before I had even joined the staff here. You can get your tickets from any United Methodist Women member or from the church office or at the door. Finally, we ask you, we implore you, take that connection card that probably dropped as you sat down, grab it, fill it out, at least get your name and anything that's changed in your contact information. And if you're new, please fill one out, because we want to get to know you. We want to know what you're interested in. So at this time, I welcome the children to depart for Sunday school as we stand for our opening hymn.
Thank you. morning, please join me in the opening prayer. Lord and Savior, sometimes we hear you in the shouts of children, and sometimes in the quiet moments. We feel you in the rain and in the sun. Sometimes we seek you, and a friend appears to carry us through. Thank you for walking beside us and showing us the way. Amen.
Scripture is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that had been taken, and so were also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought the boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Anna. She does that well, doesn't she? Nice job. The grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again real quick. When I started becoming a lay servant, I would go into different churches and preach sometimes just to help them out when they didn't have somebody. And I talked to another lay servant that went to another church one time, and he came up, and the church that he went to, well, maybe a couple of months, the pastor had started saying, "The grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you," and the congregation would automatically say, "And also with you." Well, this one time, and they said it over and over again. They got so used to saying it. This lay servant went into a church one time, and he walked up to the pulpit, and he looked, and he went, and he tapped the microphone. He says, "There's something wrong with this thing." And the congregation said, "And also with you." So I'd like to open up with the grace and peace of Jesus Christ. We're continuing our sermon series, Under Construction. John talked about building construction and then equality. Lindsay talked about community construction and then spiritual gifts. And Lynn discussed welcoming strangers. But today we're going to talk about making disciples of people for Jesus. Kind of a people construction. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer and the one who calls us to discipleship. Okay, we're going to go back to 1985 for a minute. 1985, I'm sure you remember Back to the Future, when Doc Brown built a time machine and then Marty went back in time to 1955. Well, this particular scene was well after that movie was over. Doc Brown was out in the time machine and he came and he landed it and jumped out of the car and Marty said, Doc, where you been? He says, Marty, you won't believe it. I went back to 2046. He says, they're still working on I-96 and I-20 and Michigan 23. He says, but the good news is they finally finished Main Street in Brighton. Under construction has been on everyone's mind for some time now. Seems like we can't drive anywhere without seeing a barrage of orange barrels either in our lane or blocking our way of traffic. Sometimes I'm at the point, I used to leave an hour to get to certain jobs when I had to go to work in the morning. Lately, I've been leaving an hour and a half just to be safe, and I'm even still late sometimes. I'm getting a better appreciation of why Jesus walked everywhere. In April 1974, my father and I bought a moving company specializing in moving medical, dental, and optical equipment. It came with two trucks, so when we were real busy, he would take one and I would take the other, but when we were a little bit slower, we'd ride together. So I've been spending about the last 50 years on the road, so I'm very accustomed to the orange barrels and construction signs. Orange used to be my favorite color. It's not anymore. When you hear the term under construction, the first thing you think about is the inconvenience of driving through construction zones. Sometimes I think they should change the signs from road construction to road improvement. And it might be a little bit easier to put up with it if we think along those lines. Right now they're doing extensive work on Main Street in Brighton. It's very difficult to get around town. I even tried to go for a walk down Main Street. I tried to get to my house at near 7th Street down to Grand River, and it was almost impossible. Guy says, no, you got to go back and go around. I said, no, and I walked through the construction. The going is tough, but the city is spending $6.5 million for something to do with water, something to do with making the improvement to the streets. I don't even know all the things that they're doing. But I understand that once they're done, it's going to be very nice. That's what they're telling me anyways, and I'm buying it. In our scriptures today, we find Jesus by Lake Gennesaret with, thank you, Anna, for helping with the pronunciation of that, with people crowding around him listening to the word of God. At this time, Jesus hadn't recruited his disciples, but was acting pretty much alone. He got in one of the boats he saw and started preaching from the lake. The boat belonged to Simon. He instructed Simon to put his nets out on the right side of the boat and go out to deeper water to catch some fish. Simon protested, but went along anyways, despite an unsuccessful night of fishing. After catching so many fish that Simon had to call for another boat, and they both boats almost sank, Simon felt terrible. He had doubted Jesus' word, and when Jesus asked, but he was now upset because he doubted him. This is when Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. This began Jesus assembling the disciples, and he continues his work here on earth. Simon was a professional fisherman, and even after trying all night to catch fish, he was unsuccessful. But when Jesus told him to drop the nets, the catch was overwhelming. This is what Jesus wanted Simon and all the other disciples he would call to were to do, make disciples of all and help spread Jesus' message. Jesus showed Simon that even when the catch seemed like a failure and futile, that there was, with his help, they could be successful. In Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is what we talk about today. Not buildings under construction or community, but people. Fishing for people, just like Jesus asked Simon to do. And we're going to start with me. I've spoken before in my life up to now that it was always not quite faithful to the church. I wandered in and out of the church several times. I've always had my beliefs, but I always didn't attend on a regular basis. When I was younger, I attended the Strathmore United Methodist Church in Detroit and then drifted away. And after a long time away, I planned on getting married and joined Farmington First United Methodist Church. We were members there for quite a while until Jesse was born and then drifted away again. It seemed to be too difficult to get a baby ready for church. When she got older, we started taking her and Brad to church, but not very often and not frequently enough. We drifted away again, and life kept getting in the way, so we went now and then. We were still going to Farmington First when we moved to Brighton, and then the drive back and forth was getting to be a lot, so we drifted again. The nice part of this story is that no matter how many times you drift away, God is always patiently waiting for you to return. When my son started going to high school, he started meeting with a group that discussed God and Jesus. Jesse was meeting with kids that were having the same types of discussions. And they started coming home with questions. I wasn't prepared to answer. I figured that I better get back to church and get some answers. Figured 6 months to a year, I'd have all the answers and be all set. That was over 20 years ago, and for every answer I get, I seem to have two more questions. Maybe that's when I took the bait. When I came back to church then, I started getting more involved. I took classes and started to study the Bible. I took a couple disciple classes, which were over 30 weeks long, some other classes in between. After a while, someone got the idea that I might be able to lead a class. Not my intention at the time, but I agreed, figuring that I would be done shortly. We started with a class studying the Andy Griffith Show. The show actually tried to give a meaningful message in every one of the shows that they did. And if you like an example of some of the shows in their outlines, you can go to barneyfife.com, and they have outlines for discussion about particular episodes. We originally started out with VHS tapes, I'm sure you remember them, and the outlines that came with them, but we ran out after a while, and we moved into other shows. There were several shows that we had tapes for, and then we looked for other videos. We started meeting across the parking lot to what is now the Vena Clinic, and then we moved to the Well for a while. Then we had class here in the church during second service for a long time. During that time, I heard about district lay speaking classes that were offered twice a year, and although I never had visions of being here, of giving messages, I took the classes to help me learn how to better lead small groups that we were going through. Carolyn Combs and I started out going together, and then after a while, other people from the church joined, and there was two classes a year, one in the spring, one in the fall, and then after a while, other people started going as well. Bob Fuchs even joined us for a while, became a certified lay servant, and now he's a retired pastor. So congratulations, Bob, for all you've done. There's always more to learn. I recommend the certified lay servant classes to anybody that wants to learn more about the church and our relationship with God. I went with a few other people to Chicago, to Willow Creek, for small group training. Even went back later by myself for some advanced training. Most of the churches that were there were for extremely large churches. Ours fell into the smaller end of the scale, but small groups really help out larger churches better, even though we got quite a few small groups in our church. Sometimes the small groups get to be so strong that it's almost like being family. This has all led up to where I am today, giving the message to different churches, helping leading small groups in church, doing what I can to help make disciples of God. I call myself a jack of all trades, a master of none. I help out by doing prayer here from time to time. Sometimes I even help make coffee. I'm a member of the Elks, and even there, I try to make a difference. I've been the Southeast District Chaplain for several years, and I've even been the Michigan Elks State Chaplain several times. Y'all know when I say God is good, and you say all the time. Well, a little music going on there. I figured we had to dance. Y'all know me when I say God is good all the time. Now the Elks do too. The last state convention I went to, at the first prayer I did when I was chaplain, I said, God is good, and they all kind of looked at me like I was from another planet. Maybe a couple people said all the time. I did about three or four prayers throughout the convention. By the time we got to the benediction after the banquet on Saturday night, I said, God is good. You'd have thought the roof was coming in. I got them trained. They learned pretty good. I'm still under construction. I'm still a work in progress. The more I learn, the more questions I have. Some questions that I have that I know I'll never get the answer to. A leader from one of the disciple classes that I took told me one time, he says when he gets questions like that he doesn't think he'll ever get the answer to, he says he's got a shelf in the back of his brain, and he puts those questions back on that shelf. And he says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go up to Jesus, and we're going to empty that shelf, and he's going to answer all them questions for me. I guess I'm going to do the same thing. I don't know. I've got quite a few questions. You get a lot of questions answered here at church, but there's just certain things that you have to wait for God. My daughter Jessie is on staff at His House Christian Center in Mount Pleasant. It's an organization that's not part of any college, but their offices are all located near the colleges because they want to work with the college students. They have offices and facilities near Mount Pleasant. She has worked Mount Pleasant. She did in Ypsilanti. She also worked in Sault Ste. Marie for a while. She decided she didn't like snow, so they moved her down to Mount Pleasant. She went to school at Central Michigan, and they had a program there that used to have houses. And what they would do is they would rent the houses out to people that were involved in their church up there as well as being involved in the school so that students could get a little bit break on class. The house that she was in had 8 girls in it. So what they would do is on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 2 of the girls would cook dinner for each of the nights. They didn't worry about the weekends because a lot of them went home for the weekend. But on the nights that the 2 girls made dinner for the 8 girls, they were told that they should make for 10. And they were trying to invite somebody from outside to come for dinner and have dinner with them. This is a way of witnessing. Now, they were told, you know, you don't really have to push hard. What you do is you invite them in, you say a prayer before the dinner, after the dinner. You might talk about Jesus and talk about witnessing for a little bit during the dinner, but don't push it. It's very relaxed, and it's not at all threatening. It's kind of like going a roundabout and just kind of planting a seed in people's minds. They didn't have to be complete strangers either. I mean, it could be anybody from outside the church, from inside the church, anybody they would invite them. The way Jesse described His House to me is they're helping students at different colleges build relationships and help them follow Jesus. That sounds like making disciples to me. There's many ways to make disciples of Jesus. The trick is to find out what works for you. Invite your friends to church. Invite their children to VBS. There's other family activities here at the church. Check the calendar. Invite them. There's many things going on here that they might be interested in. Maybe just call, talk to them if you think they're going through a rough time. Invite them to lunch or dinner, then say a blessing before the meal. No one wants to be forced or pushed into discipleship, but live like a Christian, and they might like what they see and want to get in on it. Jesus said, "Follow me," and the disciples followed. That worked for him. But what's important is to find out what works for you. And if you don't succeed on the first try, try again or try something different. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Now it's up to you. Like I said earlier, under construction should be called making improvements. We know that when the construction is over, things will be better. I'm a work in progress, so I would like to think that each day I get a little better, a little closer to God. I don't know if I'll ever be complete and a finished product while I'm still here on earth, but I want to think that I'm making improvements. Now it's your turn. Do what you can to make disciples of Jesus. It'll be better for them, it'll be rewarding for you. It will help grow the kingdom of God. Pray on it. Ask God for help and guidance. He's there for you, and he's there for me. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, you love us when we're up. You love us when we're down. Help us to grow your kingdom by putting us in positions to help others love you as you love them. Give us the strength to show your love to them so that they can know your love as we do. You didn't think I was going to leave it out completely. God is good. All the time. And remember, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
Hey, that was pretty wonderful. Thank you, gentlemen. So now we come to our time of prayer, and I invite you to settle yourself in. We're going to have a little talk with God. So bow your heads, close your eyes if that helps you to focus, and let's pray. Loving Savior, we come to you today with grateful hearts, as we remember that in the same way that you called your first disciples to overcome their questions and their self-doubts, you are also calling to us today. You show us signs of your love every day, and sometimes even a miracle or two if we only have eyes to see and hearts that are open to follow you. We pray that you will bless those who are in special need today, particularly Emma and Liam and Barb. We pray that the quilts we will give to them and the prayer knots we will tie today will help them to recognize your never-ending love for each of them. Thank you for inviting us to play a part in this prayer quilt ministry. Lord, we sometimes doubt that you could possibly be calling us to some next step in following you. We have doubts about ourselves, for we know our sins and our shortcomings. And yet you are a forgiving God, and you encourage us to put our nets into deeper water, and sometimes to try casting our nets on a different side of the boat. We make excuses, but you patiently wait for us to remember who you are and to make a choice to follow you. You answer our self-doubts by saying simply, "Do not be afraid." So now in the silence, help us to picture ourselves in that boat so long ago with you. Help each of us to recall some particular invitation that you might have for us today, something we can do or something we should say or some way we can help to make a difference in your world, to call someone else to follow you maybe. Whisper to us, as you did to Peter, "Do not be afraid." In the silence, Lord, be with us as we enter that boat together. And now, as we peacefully return to this prayerful space, we join our hearts as a community of faithful followers, and we pray aloud together the prayer that you gave to us: "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." So today, people from our congregation are already making special offerings to God. Isn't that true? Including that wonderful music from the gentlemen. But our ushers, our audiovisual people, the people who are teaching our kids in Sunday school, and even our preacher, we're all people who are just saying yes to God and doing something to make a difference. So what are the gifts that you might be invited to give? Whether financial gifts or gifts of time or even gifts of changes of heart, Jesus encourages us, "Do not be afraid." Now the ushers will wait upon us for our morning offerings.
So when we got together, we had such a great time singing together that we decided to do another song. So it's kind of a late ad, so I just need to announce it for the copyright. So this is "For Those Tears I Died," and I really love this song. We used to sing it at Vacation Bible School at another church where I served. It is written by Marcia Stevens, and this arrangement is by Mosey Lister, copyright 1969 by Lexicon Music.
You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows.
You are always there for us when we call. In gratitude, we bring our offerings to your church. Help us to be your hands and feet in the world so that others will know your loving presence in their lives. Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
I know I did that once already, but you can never do that too many times. That's good. Now, go out into the world. Make disciples for Christ. Find that neighbor that you think needs a little help and help him out. Just by helping him, you might bring him into the fold. Go in peace. Go with the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.